Welcome to the Storefront Church radio program. This is your brother in Christ Jesus, Freddie Wilbanks, thanking you for walking through our door, finding us on your radio dial, this radio station's internet connection, or the webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com. Today's program is 1838, and the initial air date for this program is Sunday, September 30th, 2018. Thank you for praying for and supporting this ministry. There's plenty of room for everyone at the Storefront Church. You can stand or sit right there. Some like to stand during the music and worship. Now that you're here, we want you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and worship Him with us. Sponsoring this program is Pilgrim Evangelistic Ministries, proclaiming the life-changing good news about the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through whom, by faith, we have eternal life. This broadcast is made possible by the financial support of listeners. If you'd like to sponsor the Storefront Church radio program, you can donate at the webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or call area code 989-871-9668. Help us to reach the world with the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ by reaching out to us on the web at thestorefrontchurch.com or by calling area code 989-871-9668. One more time, thestorefrontchurch.com or area code 989-871-9668. Homes by Stoddard's and Stoddard's Classic Cars in Chesning, Michigan sponsors this program. We want to thank the volunteers in today's Evangel Band. Over there, playing that big old grand piano already this hour, is Sister Narita Henley. Thumping on the doghouse bass is Brother David Thompson. And over there, strumming on that flat-top guitar, is Brother Clark Harding. Agree with us in prayer for a Jesus Christ Holy Ghost revival during this time of reprieve in this nation and around the world. Pray for our fellow citizens, government officials, judges, bureaucrats, and the invaders. Agree with us in prayer for our missionaries, veterans, fellow Christians, many who are in harm's way, and some have been killed and wounded because of God's word, profession of faith in Jesus Christ, righteousness, the Constitution, and Bill of Rights. But for now, put your Bible down on one of those homemade pews, stand or have a seat, and let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, not by Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this my power, by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. All right. Well, let's do another one that's not in that old hymnal. Still a good one. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I ain't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I ain't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, so now onward go. I know he'll take me in, though I be weak and old, friend. I ain't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I ain't feel at home in this world anymore. Till she takes my hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I ain't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I ain't feel at home in this world anymore. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I ain't feel at home in this world anymore. All right, getting feeling less and less like home every day. Turn with us in them old hymnals to hymn number 484. Hymn number 484. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my life. Oh, there's sunshine. Shine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the song I cannot sing. Oh, there, sunshine, blessed sun. Just picked up that old hymnal, but we're going to do another one that's not in there. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I ain't saved, then my soul be. Nobody's fault but mine. Had a Bible in my hand. Had a Bible in my hand. If I don't read and my soul be lost, but nobody's fault but mine. Daddy taught me how. Daddy taught me how to read. If I don't read and my soul be lost, Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I ain't saved and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I ain't saved and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. Daddy taught me how to pray. Daddy taught me how to pray. If I don't pray and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. Daddy taught me how to read. Daddy taught me how to pray. If I don't read and pray all night long, it's nobody's fault but mine. If I ain't saved and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. Oh, there's no one's fault but mine. Yeah. Nobody's fault but mine. If I ain't saved and my soul be lost, nobody's fault but mine. Touched me while I was preaching. Somebody touched me while I was preaching. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me, and it must have been the hand of the Lord. Somebody touched me while I was shouting, glory. Somebody touched me while I was shouting, oh. Somebody touched me, and it must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me, and it must have been the hand of the Lord. While I was praying, oh, somebody touched me. While I was praying, oh, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me, and it must have been the hand of the Lord. Yeah, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, somebody touched me, and it must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord, for touching me. When troubles surround us, when evil comes, the body grows weak and the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, He doesn't forgive us, but sends down His love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends His pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah went down to Jesus went down to the water.
Thank you once again for the assurance that you give us that you are with us all the time, Lord. All the time, you're with us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing what you've done for us, sacrificed your life to redeem our souls, Lord, to extend grace to us. All we have to do is just believe in you, Lord, and we're born again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We accept you as our Savior, Lord. And our friend. And Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. And Lord, we even thank you for the hard times because, Lord, we know you're there with us through those times. And Lord, as we look around us and see what's all going around us, Lord, it's so easy to get frustrated, to get scared at times, Lord, and get very concerned about what's happening in this world all around us. But, Lord, we know you're in control. It's part of your plan, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that we know you're there. And, Lord, we do pray for the people who lead us right now, Lord.
Yes.
We just help us to trust in them like we're supposed to render the Caesar unto what belongs to Caesar, Lord. And also, Lord, to give to you what belongs to you, not just money, but in our lives, Lord. We thank you again for what you're going to do from this moment on, Lord. And as Freddie prepares to open up the scriptures to us right now, and we sit at your feet, Lord, open our hearts, our minds, and open our souls to what you have for us to learn today. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Sister Narita Henley, do you folks have a special for us today?
Yes, Clark and Dave are going to bring us our special today.
All right, very good.
Well, you read in the Bible about old Daniel and how the lions, they didn't pull. He had the faith.
He does, and the biggest and greatest miracle he has for you is the forgiveness of your sins through the gift of Jesus Christ and his atoning work on Calvary. And the miracle is that you can be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and become a new creature in Christ Jesus and have the gift and the promise of eternal life. Thank you, everyone, for that special. We just thank God for those who come and are with us. This is being recorded after we recorded the one for the service out at Oakley, Michigan, at the Mid-Michigan Old Gas Tractor Association. And we were encouraged and thankful to those who came up after the service and shared with us. And in particular, there was one brother there who has been listening to us on WOAP. The Big 1080 out of Owosso every Sunday as him and his wife travel to go many miles to the church that they attend. And even though I don't remember and can't recall his name, I'm terrible at remembering names, and God, I ask God to forgive me of that. But he said it was nice to be able to see us and put a picture or have a visual of what he listens to on the radio each and every week. So we thank God for that opportunity out there in Oakley, and we thank God for the opportunity today. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to look at two portions of Scripture. We're going to do a little review here just for a second. Don't get worried. Don't get upset. And then we're going to plow into some new Scripture here. But this message is 1839, which is for Sunday, September 30th, and 2018, September 30th, 2018. And the title of this message is Pray for the Self-Centered. Pray for the Self-Centered. We're not going to leave. We're going to go to some different scripture, but we're not going to leave for, I don't think, for a little while, this overarching theme of prayer. Because I'm reminded, the Lord has reminded me that through scripture and through historical readings and different things and through testimonies that it was prayer, people praying. It wasn't people going to gospel music concerts and listening to great gospel musicians that brought about revival. It wasn't really people going and listening to great orators of the day that really brought about revival. What I am convinced of, it was people nameless to us, people who never got their names in the headlines or the newspapers or even the religious periodicals of the day, many people that were praying for God's revival. There's many who are joining with us and praying for revival and praying for the salvation of lost loved ones and that the people in this country would turn to the Word of God. And so having said that, let's look at Daniel chapter 4. Pick up your Bible off those homemade pews and turn with me to Daniel chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 17, and I was only going to share just that verse, and maybe I'll stay right there, but at first anyways. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the bases of men. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's read that last little portion again. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and sitteth up over it the basis of men. I'm reminded of a portion of scripture in John chapter 14, towards the latter part of that chapter, where Jesus, I believe it's in the 30th verse, where Jesus said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you." That was John 14, verse 30. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Oh, man, I almost could start shouting. We were singing a song earlier that says, "While I was praying, somebody touched me." Well, while I was shouting, somebody touched me. Well, the Lord has touched me during the sharing this of the verse, and I could almost shout right now, because the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You see, Satan is the prince and the power of the air of this current earth, but he can't do anything unless God allows it, steps back and allows things to happen. See, God allows and puts, in the scripture here it says he puts the basest, the crudest, the most vulgar. And some of you liberals are out there shouting who listen to this grudgingly, "Yes, amen, preach it, brother. We've got a repulsive, vulgar man in leadership in this country right now." And some of you who sit there with biting on your tongue or with pursed lips or who knows what else coming out of your mouth during these services and broadcasts are saying, "Yes, we've got a wicked, we've got a perverse, we've got a vulgar man in the presidency." Well, I'm here to tell you that it was hard for me the prior 8 years, the prior administration. I felt compelled to pray for the president because he had no inkling or inclination from his testimony, the words of his mouth, his actions, or compassion towards or any kind of feelings of positive feelings for the kingdom of God and the people who are true believers in Christ Jesus and who endeavor to apply the word of God to their lives. He had no time for them. He had no compassion for them, and he made all kinds of obstacles in their way. Did all manner of things and all manner of wickedness, of which the news media and most people ignore or try to cover up. And so, yes, we were praying. And you know what? God allowed that man to become president. God put that man in that place. And it's something that's hard for some of us, sometimes even those of us who are Christians, to wrap our spiritual minds around, let alone our mental, physical minds around that, how these things could happen. And there are those of you now who are cursing the current leader, and yet this man has, even though I'm shocked by the amount of good he has done, coming from a publicly known vile background, being a whoremonger and carouser and all these type of things, and yet God has used this man to do some things, and we need to pray. We were praying for him before he was elected. We was praying for whoever would be elected. And now that he's the president, we are praying for him, and I encourage you to pray for him that God's will would be done in his life and that he would come to the full saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and allow the Holy Ghost to work in his life. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you don't like that. That's too bad. This is my command to you. You don't like it? This is my words to you. Get on your knees and pray for God's will in my life and that God will direct my steps and move through me to share those things which I should share out of his words and those examples from around about us in this day in which we live. And so in Daniel, in the 4th chapter, in the 17th verse, that it is written clearly that God setteth up over it the basis of men. And for those who are of one particular slant or persuasion, the former president was the basis, the most corruptible of men. And for those who are of the different political persuasion now and look at things from a different perspective, the current man is the basis and vulgar. But I'm here to tell you that I thank God. I've been surprised at how much good has come about, how much freedom and liberty there is in the Spirit of God, how the spirit of oppression has been broken and lifted. And I encourage Christians to step in and take full use of this opportunity. And speaking of that, now we turn to the portion of Scripture where the Lord is leading us in Esther, the first chapter and the first verse. Esther, oh my goodness, a woman's name, a book of the Bible named after the woman. Here we are, we're talking about leaders and the vilest of men and on and on and on. And here you're diverting our attention to Esther. Yes, there's some things as I was reading this just recently, I don't know if I'll be able to do justice to it or not. I pray that God, by His Holy Spirit, moves in and through me and out of me, and that by His leading and guidance, I can do justice to this portion of Scripture, because there's so many wonderful things in this small book of the Bible that's named after a woman. There are so many beautiful things in here, and I pray and ask God in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost that I can convey to you and share with you some of these wonderful things. Some of them are possibly eye-opening. They've been eye-opening again for me, and this isn't the first time I've ever read this particular book. But starting in chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus, "which reigneth from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes and the provinces being before him. When he showeth the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellence majesty many days, even 84 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan in the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings, and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, none did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belongeth to the king Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehunam, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagath, Zedhar, and Karkas, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look at." Wow. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have a king, and there are those who know all the dates, and I praise and thank God for them. You see this Ahasuerus, there's 3 different names. This is the like Hebrew name, and there's a Greek name that later on we'll say it. And there's the name for him in the language of the Medes and the Persians, which is Iraq and Iran today. But this kingdom, it expanded, it covered the geographical area from India all the way across Iraq and Iran, the Middle East, all of it, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, all these other places, all the way over into Ethiopia. All the way, all this area was under one kingdom. It was a great and mighty kingdom. And the Jewish people were slaves, if you will, please. And they'd been taken captive. They were captives and thus literally slaves in this empire, in this vast domain, these 127 provinces scattered out, and many of them were in this capital city. And this king made a feast unto his princes and servants in the power of Persia and Media. So this king decides that he's going to show all his glory and all his wealth to all those who are in the government. And they have this huge party, and they're celebrating and they're drinking. And a matter of fact, he shows them the riches of his glorious kingdom. And when the days of his celebrating with all his government officials expired, he made a feast unto all the people. There's parallels here. Some of you are going to have a hard time making these comparisons and dealing with these comparisons. But there's many things here that are reflective of the kingdom of God, and there's many things here that we can find symbolism into the heaven. The heavens and the kingdom of God and being in the presence of the Lord. You see, if those of you who have never read the book of Revelation, you need to take some time and read it and see that this is reflective of that. There's coming a time when God Almighty is going to have a celebration in heaven. And there, those who will reign with him, and we could go off on a tangent with that, will celebrate. They'll celebrate a great feast. And then there will be another time of great celebration as well. But I want to ask you if as you go along this earth, and we live, those of us who live in the United States of America, live in a beautiful place. You know, some loved ones of mine have just recently taken a trip to Ireland. And I understand, and from some of the pictures I've seen this time of year, it's a beautiful, and there's no lush green like the lush green of Ireland. But in this country, we have places, and we have valleys, and we have riverbanks and places of lush green. And one of the most beautiful things, if you really think about it in its entirety, here in the state of Michigan, this is a lush time. We've just received rain, and the crops are beautiful at this time. And to someone that has been in the desert, to see this lushness it would be amazing to them. And to some of these commoners, if you will, common people, they're invited into this capital city, and they see things. What does heaven look like? Well, let me tell you, I have not seen yet among us the glories of heaven. But let's just imagine for a moment that you're a shepherd or tending the camels or what have you out in the parchness of places of this kingdom, and you're one of the ones who managed to make it into this king's celebration. And what do you see? You see white like you've never seen. The scripture says here, there were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple and silver rings and pillars of marble. Now, if you're out there and you're wearing leather garments and homemade sandals and what have you, and the most intricate thing that you've ever seen is something that's been weaved together maybe with the wool of a lamb or something, or made of goat's hair or something, and you come into this is beautiful. And I'm here to tell you that even though we live in a wonderful, beautiful place, when we step over into God's kingdom and get to heaven and in his presence, there's going to be whites and greens and blues and things that we have never seen before and can't fathom and deal with. And another thing is that there were beds of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black and marble. You know, in the scriptures, in the book of Revelation, it's talked about in other places as well about the pavement of heaven. And matter of fact, some of the words used are so intricate that I have difficulty pronouncing them. But the point is, there's a beauty there that we've never seen. And just as there is a beauty here in this description, if you will open your eyes and allow yourself to see it, there is a beauty also in heaven that I have not seen. And it says here that they gave them drink in vessels of gold, vessels being diverse with one from another. And this is, to me, another thing I want to make a comparison to spiritual matters. God has made us. God, in God's word, we are referred to it in a few different places as being vessels, being a vessel made by the potter's hand in one place. And bring your vessels, not a few, as a line out of an old gospel tune, referring to the vessels that were brought and were filled with oil, and let them be filled with oil. And just as these unique golden goblets and drinking utensils, each one were gold, precious gold, purest gold, and each one was different, so it is that each one of us are different. Now, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, because there's very few preaching or sharing or teaching or trying to get people to look at something. Now, if you were a guest at that banquet, in that palace, in this king's palace, would you purposely mar that individual intricate goblet that you were given to drink out of? Would you scuff it up on purpose? Would you mistreat it? Would you abuse it? Would you take and scratch it or cut it or do something like that? Well, if you wouldn't do that, and you should not do that to someone else's property that they're allowing you to borrow or utilize, you should look at that in a spiritual sense too, that your body is a vessel. Other places in the scriptures that we're told not to cut or mar ourselves for the dead. We're not to be marked and tattooed or punctured or poked holes in or anything else. And your vessel, even though it's an earthly vessel that will be destroyed and will decay eventually, this is made of God. You are made of God, and you are not your own. You belong to Him. And instead of in some kings rich wine being poured into you, you are allowed to allow the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in power, to be poured into you as well. Well, we go on, and not only were they allowed to drink, but on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded something. He commanded that Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to come before the king and all those people and show the people the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look at. Now, it doesn't clearly say here. I know I've heard of some commentators say that basically what the king wanted, this basest of men that God has lifted up into this place of authority, he asked his wife to come and parade. Basically, there are those who say naked in front of it. Now, it says she was beautiful to look at. I don't think that this king was going to have his wife that would have been covered with a black hijab or whatever it is, was going to have her walk in front of them. I think probably more to the opinion that she was a beautiful, physically beautiful woman, and he wanted to show off her beauty and actually her nakedness before these. And whether you argue with me, that's not important. If you don't like what I'm saying, pray for me. But the king, it said that this is what she's supposed to do, for she was fair to look at. Now, I want you to look at something here. Here is someone, the basest of men, that's being lifted up in this place, and this woman who is commanded to do this. You have two different characters. And as we go along here, we may, hopefully we'll see it a little bit clearer, a little bit more. That here's the individual in control is dictating that someone, in essence, under him does something wrong. And so many times when we are in a place like this Queen Vashti is, Sometimes we compromise and we do things we should not do out of expedience sake. There are people in political office today who are lying and doing things for expedience sake or for profit or what have you. And those who are innocent and stand for the right many times feel persecuted. But the point that we need to make is that Vashti is not the star in this production. The king is not the star in this production. There's something greater going on here. There is a battle between the spiritual forces of good, of God, and a battle between the spiritual forces of wickedness that are greater that these people do not see. And there's a battle going on in your life for your salvation's sake between good and evil. Will you choose good, and will you stand for righteousness in the day in which you live? Will you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and live with him, letting your vessel shine for Jesus Christ's sake? Pray for the self-centered. Pray for those who make the wrong choice.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in